Well, good evening.
Sorry
to get started a little bit late, but that's okay. I'm just still running around saying hello to folks, and good to see some folks that are here tonight. Some visiting, been follow-up visiting, and some getting away from work to come right to church before they go home. But whatever your case may be, we're glad that you're here tonight, and we'll have an opportunity to look at that later. But let's go ahead and stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and then and Brother Chair will come and lead us tonight. Father, love you. Thank you so much for your provisions, your goodness to us, for the joy of service and joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for my church family. And it's so good to be here tonight. And I pray that you'd help us as we worship together in Jesus' name. Amen. I may say this again tonight, but I'll go ahead and start. I just want to start with this since Michelle brought up what she brought up. We're going to finish on the part tonight on Proverbs on abundance. So we're going to move to a different topic next week. I'll go ahead and tell you what that is. So if you would like to study and do some research, but falls in with some of the things Michelle and I talked about, but we're going to look at Proverbs on acceptance and approval. So often that our kids and young people get confused with love, acceptance, and approval. They may seek, as they say they're seeking love, but actually they're seeking approval and acceptance. And as mature Christians, a mom and dad, we can't always accept their sin, but we can still love them where they are. And so we'll start next week, and you pray for me because it'll be a difficult time for me. Your pastor will probably be crying through some of the preparation, but that's good for me as well. All right, let's go ahead and we'll read our text. We talked about the gems of abundance and the problems of abundance, and we'll pick up where we left off on the problems of abundance. Letter H, as through the series, abundance can be lost or wasted. Chapter 5 and verse number 8 through 11. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the least when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. I pray that you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help me to be a blessing and an encouragement. And Lord, help us as we study together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon warns that living a life of adultery will lead to financial loss in your life, and that strangers will be filled with your wealth. And I don't want to spend a lot of time there. I want to move forward. I think we're all adults here tonight. We may touch on a little bit more later. But I do want to emphasize that verse 8 again and share an illustration. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house. You know, I've given the example on more than one occasion, and if we know if sin is here in this area, we're a lot better off if we just dwell a good distance away from sin. Because the bottom line is, if sin is here, and even though sin may be here and I'm here, I may be still not in sin, but I'm not very far if I happen to fall or to slip. It's better that I stay far from it, and it's similar to what our writer is saying here. So a new startup company was looking to hire a new driver. They advertised and then began their screening process, and the final four suitable candidates were brought in for the final selection and decision. The prospective drivers were brought to the driving range of the new startup company, and a wall was pointed out to each applicant in the range itself. They were each asked, "How close do you think you could come to the wall without scratching the company car?" The first candidate felt that he could drive a foot within the wall and not damaging the car at all. The second felt that he could come within 6 inches. The third believed that he could get 3 inches from the wall without damaging the company vehicle. The fourth candidate said, "I do not know how close I could come to the wall without damaging. Instead, I would try to stay as far from the wall as I could." I think that's some good advice in our Christian life, to stay as far away from the wall of sin, far away from those things that may be tempting, that may be luring, or that may draw us in. Again, the last candidate got the job because he had a different focus. He had the right focus. He understood that true skill in driving is not based so much on the ability to steer the car to a narrow miss, but the ability to keep a wide margin of safety from danger. Like the fourth candidate, there are many aspects of human nature, such as the sexual temptation or any other temptation, that are best dealt with by keeping a wide margin of safety. Solomon said, stay as far away as you can from her, and don't come near the door of her house. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Letter I, we'll move on from that. Abundance can be lost or wasted. Letter I, wickedness leads to abundant mischief. Wickedness leads to abundant mischief. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. See, if you want to have an abundance of mischief in your life, then go ahead and live wickedly, as the Bible says, it will be there. What does Solomon mean by this word mischief? Now, we need to understand, it is not a word that is used to describe a child that's being a little misbehaved or a little stinker, that we might say. No, this word is much stronger. It is derived from the Hebrew word ra, which means misery, trouble, distress, calamity, adversity. Solomon says that the wicked will be filled with these things, with misery, trouble, distress, calamity, and adversity. We think of Ahab, Jezebel, Absalom, and the prodigal son, that they found out the truth concerning this verse. You know, in history itself, one of the most wicked, powerful, and influential men of the 20th century was Vladimir Lenin, the founder of the Russian Communist Party. It is said, and I have heard this debunked, and I've heard this was true and not true. Living in Eastern Europe during our missionary years, I've heard other Russians, Moldavians, and Ukrainians saying they believe it is true. But it's said that Lenin spent his last days crawling around the room on all fours like a beast. He apologized to the furniture for his treachery and shouted repeatedly, God save Russia and kill the Jews. Accurate or not, God did give death the nod to take this man into a Christless eternity for his wickedness. David said of the wicked, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. See, God does deal with the wicked. He does deal with wickedness, but not always on our timetable or what we think. Do you really want to have an abundance of mischief, trouble, and adversity in your life? If not, there shall no evil happen, the Bible says, to the just. So important that we learn not just at a young age, but remember as we grow older, the responsibility we have in honor and respect to those that are over us, to our parents, and to one another, and to church, and to God's house as well. I don't want to get into politics, but I'll just say this. The day is coming when our protesters that entered into that church in Minnesota, they will answer for their deeds. And just like any others that try to disrupt the ministry and the house of God in their work. I may not agree with that church. I don't know their doctrine. But the bottom line is they were there for mischief. And we should do our best to refrain from that. Proverbs chapter 20, letter J, deception leads to abundant dissatisfaction. Not only to mischief, but it leads to dissatisfaction. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I think we've all have been in a position maybe at some time in our life, probably more in our younger years and our teen years. You remember our teenage years. We were smarter than anyone in the room. You know, the older I get, the smarter my dad and mom are. I remember one time that growing up in Florida, our dog really thought he wanted to catch that skunk until he did. So often we think we really want something until we have it. I ran across Aesop's Fables, and I used to use this a lot when I was in teen ministry and pastored overseas in Eastern Europe and worked with the teenagers as pastor. I led the youth group as well. And I used a lot of these because they were so effective in working with the Eastern Bloc country teenagers. But the wolf in sheep's clothing, talking about this aspect of deceit, a hungry wolf dressed in a sheepskin in order to join a flock of sheep and gain access for easy eating. The shepherd decides he wants mutton for broth and for dinner, and the first sheep he kills is the wolf. You know, so often we have to be careful about deceit and how it is used. The moral here is the evildoer often comes to harm through his own deceit. The evildoer often comes to harm through his own deceit. You see, deceit that is practiced on others will sooner or later be reaped. Again, there's such a principle in the Bible, and in many aspects, we got to be careful about our deeds and what we sow in life. Solomon warned, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. Bread of deceit is gained by dishonest means. It may seem exciting at first to accumulate money or things by deception, but the thrill will soon be gone and the experience will not satisfy you or will not last long. What you thought you gained may be lost, taken, or end up being worthless. Guilt that shadows deceptive behavior drowns any joy you may have received through your deceit. You see, your deception will leave you with a bad taste in your mouth and with pain or discomfort like having rocks in your food. To eat gravel was a Middle East expression for getting into trouble. See, the short pleasure of sin do have long-range consequences. Any pleasure that may have come from sinful living will last only for a season. Moses understood this truth, and he turned his back on a wicked lifestyle and character that was characterized in Egypt. Think about that for a moment and who Moses was. Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather the affliction, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Yes, abundance can be lost. It can be wasted. Wickedness leads to abundant mischief. Deception leads to abundant dissatisfaction. And then letter K, rebellion and foolishness lead to abundant ruin. Rebellion and foolishness lead to abundant ruin. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, verse 21 and 22. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for the four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You see, the fool or rebel does not have the wisdom to handle prosperity or abundance. So often in our youth, and even now as adults, we have to remind ourselves, sometimes we think we want something until we have it, as I mentioned, and other times we think we know better than, whether it be wise counsel, whether it be the scripture. How often, for those of us who have been mentoring someone else or through the years have discipled or mentored someone, and they come to you for counsel and they ask you questions and they hear the answers and they go and they end up asking others until they finally get the answer of what they decided they already want to do, instead of looking for biblical counsel and biblical direction in their life. See, the quest to live free or to do whatever sinful deeds he wants to do eventually shackle him with the bondage of addiction, crippling health, or imprisonment because of criminal behavior. Again, don't abuse wealth by indulging in wickedness, which will eventually ruin you. The prosperity of fools destroy them because their prosperity fuels their wild hearts. You see, the prosperity of fools gives them the ability to fulfill or afford a sensual or wicked living, which has a high price tag on it, including the use of legal drugs, alcohol, gambling, or involvement in prostitution. How money can be a tool of blessing to those who know how to use it wisely, or it can become a curse if it fuels the fulfillment of wicked desires. So we need to remind ourselves and remember or consider the prodigal son who received his inheritance from his father. His inheritance destroyed him because he did not have the wisdom to handle it wisely. His money fueled a wild lifestyle that left him empty, broke, hungry, and alone. And before we get to reading this passage here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 13 through 17, so often we get through the habit of doing what is right, and we make some decisions. We trust the Lord as our personal Savior, and we go forward, and we're involved in church, and then all of a sudden we get distracted, or we get our feelings hurt, or we get hurt, and we like to use the phrase church hurt. And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if it's family hurt, church hurt, or work job hurt, or whatever hurt it may be. The bottom line is where we go to for our comfort. Where do we go to for our encouragement? And if we don't look to the Bible, if we don't look to other godly counsel, we can find ourselves easily like the prodigal son, like others that go off and want to do their own thing or to just run from their troubles. The prodigal in Luke 15 and verse 13 through 7, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance and riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that far country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Beloved, if God has prospered you, be sure not to let his blessings destroy you or hurt your walk with God. Through the years of ministry, whether it was in Eastern Europe, whether it was in Germany with the military, other places in Europe as a young preacher, Bible college and bus ministry, and now pastoring here in Arizona, wherever it was, there's always some commonalities when you talk with people. So often, and some of you will know what I'm talking about, we hear the phrase from those who call themselves believers or are involved in church and maybe have backslidden, they've gotten into mischief, they've gotten into some things that would hurt them, their wickedness led to an abundant mischief farther than they ever thought they would go. They find themselves dissatisfied, and they found out some of the choices they have made has led to ruin. And we hear the phrase, I used to go to church. I used to be a deacon. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to drive a church bus and pick up boys and girls. I used to be involved in children's ministries. And I got to the point, and I have to confess and be honest as I try to pull this together tonight. I got to where, as a pastor, I was just tired of hearing it. I was angry, not at them, I was angry at Satan. I was angry at the things that have taken, the choices that people have made. And then on one particular occasion, I talked to a gentleman in Germany on the military base where he had worked it, there at Burger King on break. He came over and sat down and talked with me and told me, you know, I used to this and I used to do that. And I told him, you know, I've heard this and I'm going to put myself out on a limb and ask you a question I've wanted to ask others. And I never have. He said, well, what is it? I said, well, what do you do now? You told me what you used to do. Tell me what you do now. I know you're working at Burger King. I know you're the assistant managers. But what do you do outside of that? What do you do on the Sunday mornings and Sunday nights where you used to be in ministry? What do you do on Wednesday night when you used to be at Bible study and prayer meeting? Tell me what you do now. And to my surprise, a gentleman that sat across from me began to weep. And said, nothing worthy to speak about. I said, well, then how do you change it? If we reverse roles, and I was telling you what I used to do, put on your cap and your memory of when you used to teach the Sunday school class and be involved in bus ministry, how would you cancel me? And the gentleman did not know what to say. I said, you do know what to say. You know exactly what to say, but I don't know that I could say it. I would be a hypocrite. I said, okay, let me say it for you. You would be sitting at Ansbach Baptist Church on Sunday morning. You would be making an appointment with the pastor, and I happened to pastor Ansbach Baptist Church at that time. You would be making appointments with the pastor to see him on a regular basis. You would want to meet some of the other men and say, hey, I need an accountability partner. I need someone every once in a while to stop by where I work and ask me how I'm doing because I haven't been doing well. And as he sits and began to weep a little bit more, I allowed him and wept with him somewhat, and I prayed with him. And he was at church on Sunday morning. I had a chance to talk with him and encourage him, and I eventually found out his biggest problem was, I need to get away from here and back to the States. I need to get back to family and maybe even the church I used to be a part of. My downfall is when I took a better paying job that left the U.S. and came to Germany and I didn't get involved in church. I didn't even seek out a church, even though you have been there. And before me, there was other people there. To my surprise, over a period of just a couple of weeks, as I went in one day to have lunch on Tuesday, as I used to go in every Tuesday and Thursday after playing racquetball back when I had real knees, and I would have a double Whopper, onion rings, fries, and a milkshake after playing racquetball. Every Tuesday and every Thursday. He walked in the door. He was already ringing up my order. And he said, guess what? I said, what? I resigned. I'm going back to the States. Going back home near mom and dad. I need to do something about my life and my lifestyle. Folks, sometimes we never know, and as I mentioned this before, no evangelist, no pastor, no missionary, no Sunday school teacher, no faithful churchgoer wakes up and says, I'm going to ruin my life in sin today. It's a gradual process. And that's why it's so important that we stay faithful to the house of God. We stay faithful to the Word. General, we continue as we've been doing on Tuesday mornings, and iron sharpeneth iron, and we do it with others. And those that are working and can't make it, get there when you can on Tuesdays, or hook up with some of us guys to the other time through the week and have a cup of coffee and sit down and talk about life, saying, hey, I want you to pray with me. I want the mentorship. I want you to ask me once in a while about how I'm doing in the Word, because if we're not careful, we can allow the abundance of the wrong things to bring us to waste, to lead to mischief, or we may find ourselves dissatisfied in life. And dear friends, that will lead to rebellion and foolishness. Every Christian, every person, saved or unsaved, that I've ever met that was bitter was always looking for someone else to blame for their problems. We need to make sure that we do continue to work together, fellowship together, give each other accountability, and do all we can to sharpen and encourage one another in the ministry, because God's going to bring people into our life. Dear friends, and just give me, well, we got plenty of time. I don't know why people find it comfortable to sit down for the perfect stranger and know something a little bit about me and sit down and spill their guts. But it happened over and over and over in ministry there in Germany among the military. It's happened here at times when I meet people or I'm wearing my Harvest shirt and I'm out somewhere where somebody might come by and sit down, hey, do you mind if I join you? And it's not long after that they're beginning to talk about some things that they're struggling with. Folks, there's people out there now that are struggling, looking for someone to talk. Are we doing a well enough job allowing our community, our neighborhood, to know who we are? That we are a resource. We are believers. We are children of God. We walk with the Lord. We attend service. We don't just go to church. We are church. We are active. We are ministering. We're loving on other people. And the word gets out in that, and people recognize those things. And you're someone that's easy and friendly to talk to. You'll find yourself being talked to. For the whole 11, 12 years that we were there in Europe, every week, several days a week, I was on the base, in the gym, playing racquetball over at Burger King, and sometimes just sitting there with a cup of coffee. And I never went there and sat down for more than an hour where somebody didn't come by and say, hey, you got a minute? Some of them never darkened the doors of the Ansbach Baptist Church where I pastored. Some of them never came. But they still recognized me, and they would call me preacher. They would call me pastor. Even had a family who was in processing introduce me as the pastor. Man, you guys ought to really go there. And they'd never been. But telling others they ought to go. We had people witness, invite people to our church that never set foot in the church. And I always enjoyed hearing it because I would always ask them, hey, you know what? You're right. They really ought to come. Maybe you can meet up with them and bring them to church on Sunday. So some of them got the idea and they quit doing that in my presence. But what I'm saying is when people know about us, they know we care about people, and they have something to talk about, they need to talk to someone, I hope it's someone that's going to direct them in the right direction. Someone's going to use biblical principles and lead them and encourage them in the right direction and not lead them astray. We have an abundance of things that God has provided, not just things of the world, but in His Word to share with other people. So I want to close with this tonight. I want to encourage you men. Yes, thank you. That's why we got so much time. I jumped the gun and jumped right into the lesson tonight. We still got prayer requests and prayer time. Let me encourage you guys. Get back in the Word and start memorizing Scripture. I know there's others maybe, but me and another gentleman in our church, we've been looking at going over and memorizing Scripture, things that has to do with God, has to do with our Savior, the church, the Holy Spirit, and just biting off blocks and memorizing Scripture. You'd be surprised how much the Lord will bring it to your attention when you're talking to someone and how the verses you went over that day is exactly what you need today to cancel, to encourage, and be a blessing to someone. Let me encourage you to add some time in your Bible study to not just read your Bible, but start looking at some aspect. Lord, help me in some areas on Scripture memory that might help me as I try to witness and talk to others. Lord, I pray now that you would also bless our efforts here at Harvest Baptist Church. Help us, Lord, as we continue to serve and live for you by faith. Help us to pray for and encourage our family, our church family, Lord, and help us, Lord, to do all that we can to mentor and encourage and love one another. I pray that you would help us in our fellowship, Lord, and that we would on purpose schedule the time around fellowship with our church family, Lord, that we might encourage one another in the things of the Lord. Pray that you'd bring us families, Lord, here to Harvest that we can minister to, that we can love on, that we can help them with their Christian walk and growth in life. Pray that you would be able to also help those over our community. Father, we never know who we're ministering to, that we might be able to reach, Lord, outside of church that may lead to church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, give us insight. And Lord, help us not to be so busy that we don't take the time when we have time to look for an opportunity to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. Lord, we love you now. Pray that you dismiss us with your love. Lord, help us and bless our time of fellowship afterwards, Lord, and may you be uplifted and glorified and bring us back to your house together as a church family on Sunday. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. If you did not have a chance to greet the David family, make sure you do that on your way out. So good to have you folks and others are visiting with us tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.